Attention. Attention. Do you want to get a more chiseled look in your jawline, girl? Well, let me tell you. Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it's the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Baby, get that jaw together, honey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Hey, y'all. It's Monet Exchange.
And my name is Bob the Drag Queen, and this is Sibling Advice. Now, listen, we all know that we are not doctors.
Not even a little bit.
We're not therapists. We are not psychologists.
We don't know much about algebra.
Psychiatrists. If you need advice, please go to your doctor, your rabbi, your priest, your shaman, your teacher, your therapist. This is just for entertainment purposes only.
Yes, everything we're saying is for use in this podcast only. Do not take this as sound advice to take into the world to remedy your issues. If you have, do not take any of this seriously. This is for entertainment purposes only, and we don't want anyone to feel like we are diagnosing them, that we're giving them a prognosis on life.
So with that in line, let's get into some advisory. Any?
The house down, sick of, I want to see her.
I am. I have a shave of my head, so I need to wear a baseball cap, and I asked Jacob to go grab me a hat. Mm-hmm. Look at this motherfucker.
Ooh, loads. You know, when the straight people see stuff like this,
love, do you think loads.
I was thinking like dirty loads.
No, it is that kind of load. Girl, if Jacob, I said, Jacob, where'd you get this hat? He goes, I had it custom made.
So like when straight people see this stuff, do you think they get it? Or do you think only like queer people or gay men, honestly, specifically, are like, you know?
I think that loads is pretty queer coded.
Is it?
To be honest, I don't be talking to straight people. So, girl, I don't fucking know. Do they say drop a load? Drop a load? I have no clue. I have no way of knowing.
Like, you agree. Dick, like black people say dick and white people say cock, right?
I think in my experience, yeah, that sounds pretty true. I don't know a lot of black people that say cock.
Right. And I was saying this to Andy. He was
but
like,
I do know white people that say dick. But I do know white people that say dick, though.
Well, this is true. This is true. But I think it's just a lot of African-American vernacular just gets used by people all the time. Like,
I don't know that this is really specifically black vernacular. I think cock is white vernacular.
I think it is. I think dick is black vernacular. I really do think so.
I do not know the etymology behind this word, but I would be shocked if the word dick. Based on what is that based on though?
Of my research in high school.
Okay. I mean, sure. I will say this.
I did the legwork. I researched a lot of dick.
I do believe that a lot of white people say cock and most black folks don't say that, but I think a lot of people say dick. Like, hey, bitch, suck my fucking dick, bitch. Like, you can see some Italian guy be like, suck my fucking dick, you bitch.
Yeah, but I think it's from black vernacular. Wait, really, on the topic of vernacular, I'm going to read something and you see if you can guess what drag queen on Twitter said this tweet.
Okay.
This one. I've been planning something in honor of Janet Jackson's birthday. I'm so excited for you to see what I consider to be a dream project of mine. VTF content on our Patreon before going main stage on Glad tomorrow.
That's Peppermint.
Yes! You know your sister! Yeah, Peppermint is obsessed with Janet Jackson.
Peppermint, yeah, she loves Janet Jackson. I also retweeted that, so.
Okay, here's another one.
Okay.
My Uber is taking me the literal opposite direction of DragCon, and when I said something, he said, enjoy my car. Am I being kidnapped or no?
My Uber is taking me the literal direct opposite. Is this, it's not, I don't, do I know this person very well?
You do know this very well. I mean, I don't know very well, but you definitely know this person.
I don't know, Kim?
I think the tell is in the last, it's in the end of the thing when it says, this is the tell for me. Am I being kidnapped or no?
I don't think I know. Who is it? I have no clue.
Got Mick. That's very her cadence of speech. She's like, okay, am I like da 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 or no? Like she says that she says that a lot. Miss Got Mick.
I guess I'm not super familiar with that particular pattern of speech from her.
Okay, last one. Okay. Did a dude push me to the ground in the club for no reason? Yes. Did I have lesbians remove my shoes so I could run outside after him and punch him in the head? Also, yes.
Is that Morgan McMichaels?
No.
Who is that?
East Coast. I'm going to do one more time. East Coast.
Read it again.
Did a dude push me to the ground in the club for no reason? Yes. Did I have lesbians remove my shoes so I could run outside after him and punch him in the head? Also, yes. East Coast Queen.
I seem like a drunk mess. Is this Tatiana?
It is Tatiana.
Oh, yeah, she said this queen sounds messy, honey. Messy.
I love being on Tatiana's TikToks. I mean, her Instagram. Tatiana cracks me up. She's always letting somebody have it. Trinity's always fighting. Tatiana always.
I sent you some text. I was like, oh my God, Trinity is always fighting people, like fighting her followers. Like they are fighting all the time. And I see that one text, you didn't respond. Then I saw another one. I was like, oh my God, this is wild. Trinity the block. Trinity the block.
Trinity the block. Trinity the block. They call it now Trinity the Trinity the truck. That's a new name.
Why is she a truck?
Okay, I've come to realization. Patty
and I.
Is she
driving a pickup or something?
No, she just like very Trinity would like bull, like for example, Trinity. But this is all in like the best way and like very funny. Like on the tour, like anytime they would say something, she was like, "Girl, I'm not doing that. We are not good. You're not gonna have us in drag from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. No, ma'am, we're not doing that." Like she kind of like steamrolls or bulldozes to like the yeah.
It's very, did she ever end up charming. Doing the stuff she said she wasn't going to do?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like trash.
But I will say, there is something about you. I think we told us this story in the podcast before. Are you comfortable talking about it again?
I don't know what you're talking about, so let's find out.
San Francisco to L.A.
Like, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing
that. That was
that.
Very Bob. That's very Bob's energy.
Well, the difference is I didn't do it.
But sometimes when she says it, they'll be like, okay, sorry, we'll find out, and they'll find another way to do it. So that doesn't happen for sure.
Well, we should tell a story. So if anyone doesn't know, on the season 8 promo tour, which, by the way, we were the last season to actually get a promo tour. We went on an 8-city tour,
you're the last one,
to watch our season in 8 different cities. And between San Francisco, it was ending in Los Angeles, and from SF to LA, they decided they wanted to put us on a on a tour bus. Oh, no, not a tour bus. Sorry. A party bus.
Yes.
From SF to LA, which is a 6-hour drive, y'all. Okay. They wanted us to be in drag the entire time and make a stop at a restaurant on the way. And I said, I'm not doing that. And then and a couple other girls were like, I don't want to do it either. So then what I did was I drafted a letter and I emailed it to all the girls and I told everyone to send the email at the exact same time so that we were all actually together so they wouldn't know who it was coming from. So all the girls except 2 girls sent the email at the same time.
Say their names. Say their names now. Bob, it's mad long.
I have said their names 1,000 times. I have never hidden their names. It was Chichi Devane and Derek Berry. I have said their names over and over again.
Oh, yeah, you did say them last time. But when you on the first time you told them about, I have never told
this story. I'm telling you, I have been telling this story for thousands of
years. Well, the first time
years.
I heard it, you did not say the names. You wouldn't tell me who the names were. The first not time true. I found out was
play
on this, that is
play
true.
Back.
No. I'm saying maybe not on the podcast. When you first told me this thing happened, when you first came back from doing your thing, when you did the first one, you didn't tell me who it was.
That's also not true, but go ahead.
That is true. I know for a fact.
When we have on this podcast proven over, I think upwards of 1,000 times.
It could be 2 million times. There'll still be one time that I could be right.
That you will just blatantly say things that are just based on nothing.
I know for
nothing.
A fact. You did not tell me when it first happened. It was like,
you're telling me
we
in
spoke
private.
About it in real time.
You're telling me in private. I was like, but I won't tell you who, Monet.
Yes. I, Bob, at that time, yes. But also, I think you're also beginning.
I have no interest in arguing this with you. Literally
okay,
none.
Okay, then don't. I know that's what happened. And it was later on you told me, and I was like, oh, work, I gagged. But in the real time, you did not tell me in real time.
No interest.
The phone charging sound.
That was Jacob. Jacob's got something charging over there. It was a computer. So what do you
Did you see what I sent you on TikTok?
No, what did you send me?
With Marlon Wayans.
What is it?
It's a video of Marlon Wayans. We'll play you. I think you should play it because when we play the TikToks in here, it's good because people who are listening can get the context. It's a video of Marlon Wayans explaining why he would never do White Chicks 2. He's like,
I already saw that actually. Yeah.
When I just happened to run across,
I was like, oh, so you did drag? Okay, go on. Oh, so you did drag? Pop off.
No, Bob. It took them 7 hours to get into the looks. 7 hours. It is not bitch. Who's besides Valentina?
Valentina.
I'm about to say besides Valentina, who else has taken 7 hours to get in drag? That is
some people do.
That is insane to me. Girls who take that long to get in drag, I'm like, no.
The Grinch, no. You know, Jim Carrey and the Grinch took I think 9 hours to get into full drag for his thing. I think that Colin Farrell for the Batman,
the Penguin,
took like 5 hours to get in. Eddie Murphy did it for like 7 different characters.
I know. What was I going to say? It may be something about. I mean, I get it. Still takes a lot of time, but having just be able to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and literally fall asleep and let somebody put it on you, that also must be way different than you sitting there every day afraid that you're fucking up your makeup. But when I do prosthetics, I'm always so like nervous about I'm gonna fuck it up.
I mean I've seen the White Chicks movie. I don't know what 7 hours about this. And this is no shade, I do not know what about this drag is 7 hours.
To be fair, we don't do prosthetics, so we can't speak to what that process
prosthetics.
Is.
I've worn prosthetics. We have both worn prosthetics. And you've worn them too.
Yeah, but someone who is a professional makeup artist, I'm sure
I've had
there
professionals
are...
put prosthetics on me, and it's never taken 7 hours. Ever.
Well, listen, I have put prosthetics on myself, and always, when I do my own prosthetics, and it'll just be like something small, like a horn, or like something on my nose or something, and that, I...
Seven
I,
hours?
I, I buffer an hour just for that. So I can only imagine when it's like you have multiple pieces. Vivian, I've seen Viv do prosthetics, and it looks like it's, and I can't speak to white chicks, obviously. I'm not a special effects makeup artist. But when she does like different things, she had to start like 3 hours before because it looks like one piece, but it's literally layered ones to give you the desired effect. So I'm not a SFX person, but I can imagine it does take that long. I don't know.
Sure. Apparently it did take that long. I just don't get it. It's like when Valentina does her makeup. There's no reason it should take that long. There is an easier, softer way. It does not have to take that long.
Valentina is a unique case. But also, the reason why it takes us so long is because, like, y'all seen tutorials. Look at her. I mean, I've never seen her Cosmo one, so I don't know if it's that long. But Valentina will, like, she'll do her eyebrows, and she'll, like, paint them on, and she'll spend time. You know, y'all see how she has the little strokes? Each stroke in her eyebrow, she's like, and she'll like go over it. Like if she just luxuriates in putting makeup on. I guess she really loves the transformation process. Like that's her thing that gets her off in drag.
It's too long. It should not take that long. White chicks and the Grinch should not be the same amount of time.
I mean, first you wanted to abolish libraries, now you want to abolish SFX makeup artists. I don't know, Bob. Take up your fight with the fucking with SAG. I don't know what you want me to say.
If I can get a couple of makeup artists inside of a library and tear it down, that'd be really great.
I know, it fucking make you come.
Yeah, while they're in there.
You think, while they're in there.
Whatever. Yeah, tear down the library while the SFX makeup artists are inside the library. Whatever.
And you're coming. Work. Roberta, how you doing?
I'm well. I just got back from Bloomington, Indiana, and I was headlining the Limestone Comedy Festival. I've had a really busy comedy couple of weeks. You know, I was emceeing Standout, which is a comedy mm-hmm. special that's going to be airing on Netflix on June 9th. So please go check out Standout on Netflix on June 9th. Billy Eichner hosted, and I emceed the show.
Now that you did it, what was the difference?
I don't know. He just got top billing. That's really the big difference.
Work.
Yeah. Work. And then I did the Limestone Comedy Festival, which was really lovely and wonderful. I did a couple other shows. I did three shows at the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival. So this year I've done Moon Tower, Netflix is a Joke, and Limestone.
We love that. This year.
Yeah, it's felt really nice.
Are you having a good time?
I did one other one too.
Wow, damn son, fuck their comedy, fuck their laughs,
whichever one it was, fuck them. I'm sure they'll understand. I'm sure they'll understand.
Damn son, damn homie. In high school, you was the man, homie.
I've done a couple of, you know, stand-up gigs that weren't attached to any festivals. I actually did some stand-up in Orlando to prepare for the Standout Festival out of drag. And it was a really interesting scenario. I went with Marvin, my friend Marvin, from We're Here. Mm-hmm. And it was just, we were in Orlando. We were in Trump Town. We were in Trump Town. People were telling transphobic jokes and, like, anti-vax jokes and, like, the FDA is bullshit jokes. I was like, this is very strange material.
And how did they react to your set?
They liked it. They thought it was very funny.
Work.
I mean, I kind of leaned in though, because it was like a lot of comedians up there like being like, man, my wife's driving me crazy. Like a lot of that shit. My fucking wife. So I got up and I put my purse down and I was like, ugh, my wife is like driving me crazy. And they got a laugh, and they kind of broke the mold. In fact, I'll tell you about it when we come back.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you, add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions. Allergies to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm, common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
All right, let's hit the first question. Oh, wait.
I was going to ask you, because you're doing Just for Laughs.
I'm doing Just for Laughs. I'm very excited about that. If you listen to this, Just for Laughs is on May 26th in Vancouver. I'm very excited about it. I have a really funny opener. Well, I saw her stuff, and it's really great. And I'm excited to be doing such a major comedy festival. It's going to be very, very fun.
Yeah, Just for Laughs is probably the biggest comedy festival in the world, actually.
Okay. Do you think... I guess because Netflix is so new, but I would think Netflix is a joke would probably be the biggest, but it is also their first year.
Yeah, and Just for Laughs is like the most prestigious comedy festival in the world.
That's amazing.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's do some advice first, shall we?
Oh, work.
Oh, did you have something to say about Just for Laughs?
I had something to say and I completely forgot, so never mind.
Hi, ladies. So I'm Devin. I'm from Gainesville, Florida. I work at Dave & Buster's, and I'm a waiter there. So, you know, I see a lot of people come and go. But we got a new buster recently. He's this really cute guy. And, you know, from the first day, we kind of, like, hit it off. And, you know, kind of were, like, flirty. And I soon found out that he wasn't, you know, straight per se. He didn't say he was like bisexual. He just said he likes who he likes. And, you know, somebody asked him in my presence, would he fuck me? And he said yes. And so, you know, obviously the boy likes me a lot, right? The only problem is he has a girlfriend. And like when he brings her up, he kind of is like, oh yeah. And then goes quiet, probably because I roll my eyes and look away. But, so yeah, like I kind of really like him, but I don't know what to do about it because I always go for the most unobtainable men, you know what I mean? You know, I'm very pretty, I look like a woman, and yeah, so you know, even though I'm more of like a transvestite than anything, you know, guys tend to really like me. Anyway. Thank you for listening to my question, girls. I hope you guys have a nice day.
That was a wild ride. That was a wild, wild ride. Hey,
girl, what is going on in this message? Oh, my God. There is so much going on here. I need a shot.
Do you want to take it away?
You can start.
Maybe you take a shot of green apple syrup vodka.
I don't have any with me. I normally do, but I don't have with me right now, which kind of sucks.
You know, that was very interesting. This honestly, this sounds messy. And whether or not it's something, okay, you're saying you like this guy, bitch. Are you trying to fuck or do you like this guy? If you like someone, stealing someone from someone else is always a bad sign. If they are willing to cheat on someone with you, they will cheat on you with someone.
How you get them is how you lose them.
So, like, if you're Mr. Steal Your Girl, you know what I mean? If you're trying to mop up somebody's partner, this sounds very messy. And I think that if you're just trying to fuck, then sure, fuck. But he can't be that fucking hot. Just fuck somebody else. I mean, if you're gonna ruin someone's relationship, just fuck someone else. You know what I mean? It sounds like there's some sneaking around on his partner, unless they're open. Mo? Bitch, are you here?
Yeah. Bitch, I thought it sounded like you just stopped mid-sentence. You're like, unless they're open. I thought you were, I didn't know you were done. I thought you were frozen or something. This sounds very, very messy. And you need to, I agree, Bob, you need to decide. Do you want to fuck this person or are you trying to date this person? Like, and you know, you need to make that very clear for yourself and with him. But also, if he wanted to, if you help this man cheat on his girlfriend with you, I mean, I just think, again, that's a mess. This is someone involved with like where you work at. I mean, I don't know his girlfriend, but now you're running the risk of his girlfriend coming to his job. I mean, I've never experienced that or seen that in real life, but you never know. People get crazy. People do crazy shit. So I just think you're messing around with something at work. You could potentially lose your job over all of this nonsense. So just find somebody else, girl. Do not help this man cheat on you.
Ain't no dick that good, baby. Not, no.
Yeah.
That was mess town, honey. Ooh, Lord. And then messy. She's like, I look like a woman. I'm a transvestite. I was like, pop off, pussy hat. All right, here we go.
Play the next one.
Hi there, Baba Monet. I'm a 19-year-old transphobic person from Tucson, Arizona. You know, gotta love it. I won't give you my name for my own safety because, believe it or not, I am met with hate here in this city. They do not love the dolls. They do not worship the dolls. Not one bit. Not at all. I would just love your advice on how to meet new people, specifically like for a relationship, without having to deal with the apps. Because honestly, at this point, it's getting exhausting. On Grindr, it's all chasers. On Tinder, whether or not I met with people who are looking for men or people who are looking for women, the people who are looking for women love me because, not to be egotistical, I am a hot bitch, but they don't like trans people. And the people who are looking for men are looking for men, and I'm not that. So I'm just kind of like running in circles here, it seems like. Like, I'm not getting anywhere with anyone. And I would just love to meet people in person and skip all that bullshit. But like, how can you know that you're going to be safe, you know? Because I'm recorded everywhere I go here. I would just love your perspective on this. I would love some advice on how to go to like be in adult spaces and feel safe. Thanks so much. Signed, Femme Bitch.
Did it say 19 or did I make that? Or was that someone else?
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, you know, 19 is tough because you can't go to the bars. Actually, I don't know. A lot of bars are 18. Actually, you go first. I went first last time.
Yeah, in small cities, you can often find bars that are 18 and over. Not just small cities, big cities too. So maybe I would try going out to a bar or some type of environment. If you're not like a big party person, I wouldn't go to a big party 18 over place to meet somebody. If you're like since you're trying to engage in more of a relationship talk, like try to find lounges and stuff like that would be more inducive to that kind of conversation. And if you don't want to do the apps, bitch, I don't even know anymore. I mean, a lot of my trans friends in New York City, they would go to trans parties, like certain bars, like kind of like what Bob was saying, certain bars have trans nights or there are like specific trans events, trans women events that they would go to meet like-minded people or you know, to find dates and to meet someone romantically. But in 2022, apps are such a big way people meet people. I know you don't want to do the apps. I would recommend maybe try some that my trans friends have found success in. Hinge, they say, and Bumble. Hinge and Bumble are the two big ones I hear of. Tinder, not so much. Badu. Tinder, not so much. Grindr, not so much. But those I've heard are like romantically.
You know, I hate to say this, but a lot of times queer people, especially trans people, we have to search further. We have to go further than our straight cisgender counterparts to find love or to find acceptance or to find community. So, you know, some people like, and you know, there was a time in Mississippi where there was only one gay bar in the entire state of Mississippi, in the entire state. So people had to either go to Tennessee, Alabama, or Louisiana, or to the one gay bar in the entire state. And you have to just travel further. You know what I mean? I find that there's a lot of people who are trans amorous or attracted to trans people who go to drag shows as well. It is not uncommon to find people in those spaces who are attracted to trans femmes. You know, and there can be chasers. And I think that sometimes you have to, you know, maybe develop your own system of filtering out chasers. You know, I am not a trans femme, so I do not have this experience, and I don't fully know what it's like to have that kind of experience. But what I do know is that there are places. I'm not sure what the Tucson area is like. Maybe you have to go to Phoenix. You know, maybe you have to go to the next big city to
pronounce Phoenix
to locate the things that you are looking for. So that's an example. That's an idea that I have, and I also recommend ask some trans women in your area. You're 19 years old. That's so young. You're so young. You know, this is a very young age to try to find love. You know, I mean, I think that also at 19, maybe just looking for some good, safe dick, some good, safe fun, and find love later.
No, I don't agree with that. If you are looking for love, bitch, go look for your love. If you didn't know you're trying to dick everybody down, you're looking for something romantic, don't compromise.
I'm not saying anything about comfort. I'm just saying, in my opinion, if you're 19, baby, sow your fucking wild oats. Go out there and have sex. Have sex. Sex with a lot of people. Not
everyone's wild like us.
Listen, okay, so you can tell everyone on the podcast to do drugs, but I can't tell folks to have sex? Okay, pop off, pussy hat. Let's do the next.
Wow.
Hi, Bob and Monet. My pronouns are they, them, and I'm from Maryland. I just wanted to know... Recently, I've been having a problem where I don't hear from my friends that often, and I want to know if it's needy to ask for their attention or be like, because I'm normally the one to like text first and like stuff like that, but sometimes I want them to like want to talk to me, or I want it to feel like they want to talk to me, so I stop texting first, or I take a step back, and then I don't hear from them for a long time. Am I being needy? Should I just continue to text first, like, what do you think? Sincerely, all by myself.
You first.
You know, the notion of feeling uncomfortable to reach out to your friends, that sounds like a friendship that would be really stressful for me. If I felt like I couldn't reach out to my friends and communicate with them without feeling insecure, that would be very, very stressful. And I would just be uncomfortable, you know? It's almost like dating, like, you know, people play games and they're dating and they be like, I'll wait until he texts me and then blah, blah, blah. But then you kind of build your relationship on games and manipulation. You know what I mean? So I would just say, be open about your feelings and be honest and say how you're feeling. And I think that your friend's reaction to how your friend's response to you opening up about your feelings is very telling.
Yeah, I want to say I understand how hard it can be and how awkward it can be to be really honest and vulnerable with your friends, saying that you are feeling left out. So, like, I get that completely. But I agree with Bob. I feel like if you are not the only way to tackle it and not have like a and not, you know, have it be as too weird is like just being honest about it. Like, hey, like, what's the tea? Like, why am I always one reaching out? Like, do y'all not want to like chat with me anymore? Like, I think like asking the questions that you want to know, I feel is the best way to remedy. Be honest.
Well, I don't know that I would lean in with maybe y'all don't want to chat with me anymore. I would maybe say stuff like, you know,
I wish I heard from you more. I really wish you would text me some more. Like, I love talking to you so much, and I wish you would text me some more because I just love getting texts from you. It feels really nice when I get texts from you, and I just it makes my day. It really makes my day. As opposed to being like, what, do you not want to talk to me?
Well, I think it's just having an authentic, real exchange with your friends. Like when you and I have something, I don't come at you in a way to that. Like I ask a question that I'm feeling. I was like, Bob, so Bob XYZ. You're like, well, Monet, and then we talk it out. I don't like change up how I talk to make you, you know, to, because then I feel like I'm not being like super honest about my feelings. I'm trying to like beat around the answer. So I like telling you how I feel like in the moment, like how it feels in my head.
I think there's a difference between how you feel and then just and come and saying how you feel is like, I like when you text me. I feel sad when you don't, and I would like more text from you. Now, when you say something like, do you not want to hang out with me? That's not how you feel. That is just assuming if I say Monet, you're mad right now, that's not how I feel. That's me assuming how you feel.
Yes, I'm saying so I would say I feel like you don't want to hang out with me anymore. Like, that's how I feel. Like, if you don't text me anymore like we used to, or if you do something, I'm like, so Bob, I feel like you don't want to hang out with me no more. Like, what, what's the tea? Like, what's going on? But again, we're also just arguing semantics, how someone would address their friends.
I think it's actually not semantics. I think it is I statements. It is literally I statements. And even though you say I at the beginning of a statement, it doesn't make it an I statement. So that's what I'm suggesting is, if someone goes into a situation just talking about their feelings as opposed to asking the other person what they're up to, I feel like you will probably have a much more positive outcome if you just mention your feelings as opposed to saying, like, making it like you don't want to hang out. I feel like you don't want to hang out with me. Saying I feel before you assume someone else's actions and feelings doesn't make it an I statement, and it doesn't make it about your feelings. If I say I feel like you're grumpy, I feel like you're in a bad mood. That could put someone like, why are you saying? Instead, you go, you know, instead of saying, I feel like you're in a bad mood, you might say something like, oh, I see that you responded really quickly to that to the thing I said. Like, you responded really quickly. And that didn't feel good to me.
I mean, different strokes for different folks. That's how in my experience of growing in this world, that's how I address my things. And I don't have meltdowns of people. I say that, and then we talk about it, and then we move on. So I never had. I don't have aggressive interactions when I approach people this way. I really don't. I can't think of a time that. I can't think of a time that does not mean
never argue with anyone.
I'm about to say, just because I can't think of a time that does not mean that it never happens. But typically, when I address situations in the way that I do, I do not. I don't be out here fighting with a lot of people. I really don't. Even when I met up with Tavisha Iman, I was like, hey girl, and we talked it out, and I made I statements about how I felt about it, and then we were, and then that was it.
I just feel like I've heard lots of stories about you fighting with people, and you're like, I just don't.
I did not say do not fight with people. I don't be out of here. Bob, one of us fights with people all the time, and one of us doesn't.
The difference is one of us openly acknowledge that we fight with people. And you're like, I've just never.
You're the one that said you don't argue with people. You have made those statements one day. He's like, well, now you have made those statements about me not fighting with people more than I have. You're obsessed with me not fighting with people.
I'll wait for Bob and Drag Queen videos to find the statements of me saying that you don't fight with people. I said I fight people. I'm talking about what I do. I argue with people sometimes, but I'm not saying you don't fight. What I often talk about is you calling me heaving about how you tried to physically assault the guy who tried to scam you.
That was one situation. You look using the most, all using the only is, situation that's ever happened.
I talk about
that a lot.
I don't know how often I'm like, Monet doesn't.
Oh, you talk about it a lot? How often are you already talking about it?
With you?
Right.
I talk about it more than once.
Yeah, and that's a lot, working all the conversations we've had. But anyway, so what I'm saying is you have gone this podcast. So you're like, Monet, everybody likes you. You're just nice. No, you have gone on the record saying that on this podcast. It's okay,
there's a difference between saying everybody likes you and you don't fight with people. Everybody likes me, too.
And you've made both of these statements.
Okay, Monet, sure. What's our next thing, Jacob?
Imagine an app designed to make you use it less. Seems counterproductive, right? Well, Apartments.com's instant alert feature works exactly that way. Instead of scanning rental listings a million times a day, simply set and forget your search to whatever you're looking for in the place and let Apartments.com do the rest. From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tool lets you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking is listed. So now you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alert means you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time to do you. Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Our next partner has truly made a positive impact on the most important person in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Jacob. I'm talking about my cat. My cat's old food used to stink, y'all, okay? And I used to dread every time I had to feed Miss Colleen. That old cat food was boring. It was gray. It was looking crazy. And I could see Colleen literally vomiting telepathically at the thought of having to eat it. And cat food has been the same forever, so it's time cat food took the move to the 21st century, and that's why I've been trying Smalls. Are you feeding your cat kibble? Now is the time to update your cat food with Smalls. Smalls cat food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Smalls was started
now,
back
I was watching my poor niece eat literal hard kernels of dry cereal while Monet and Andy were eating gourmet food. And that's actually when I stepped in and I said, we need to make sure that she's eating as well as you two are, okay? Smalls was started back in 2017 by a couple of guys home cooking cat food in small batches for their friends. And a few short years later, they serve millions of meals to cats around the world, honey. And I feel better knowing that Colleen is eating well. And that she has an aunt like me who looks out for her to make sure she's not eating that old burnt up kibble. You can finally open up a packet of cat food and not get nauseated. You actually recognize the ingredients in the packet of Smalls Food. Now give your cat the gift of great cat food this holiday season. Head to smalls.com/rivalry and use code rivalry to check out for 50% off your first order plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find. But you have to use the code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order. One last time, that's promo code RIVALRY for 50% off your first order plus free shipping.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Next caller.
Hey, Bob and Monet. I'm what the fuck? I'm Elias. I'm 19 and I'm from Sydney, Australia. And I want to ask you a question. In regards to integrating yourself into a primarily straight community as someone who is queer and femme, pretty much I play Super Smash Bros. Ultimate competitively. And I used to play locally before COVID hit. And that's when I wasn't, like, truly being myself. I was trying to be as straight as possible. But now I've embraced the femme, and I want to reintegrate myself back into that community. But knowing how toxic it is, I'm finding it rather difficult to do that. And so I want to ask, how do you integrate yourself back into, you know, primarily straight spaces? Also, I just want to say thank you. We're talking about ancient Mesopotamia as someone who is Assyrian in this is pretty much one of the only bits of representation I've ever gotten, and I find it so cute, and I like to think that fucking Monet astral projected back to the ancient Babylonian times and was talking to one of my ancestors and canoodling and all that jazz. I love it. Bye.
Yes, bitch. I was astral projecting, honey. I was going over all the lush fields in Mesopotamia. It was wild. But let me tell you something. I have heard from so many people how like bad gaming communities are, and I guess I've been on gamer talk, whatever. And it's like, I feel like in the past week, like maybe six videos of some girl being on game, on like streaming their gaming thing. And them like, what?
Good.
And her like owning everyone, like whether it be Overwatch or some Call of Duty game, and like how like the fucking little kids, or sometimes probably grown up men, adults, who fucking knows, they like go in on these women. They're like, "You stupid fucking bitch cunt, I fucking hate you." Like they like, it's so mean and so toxic. So I can only imagine how they are to feminine men. And I mean, honestly, it's tough because on one hand, you just want to just play your game in peace and not people stigmatize you and be rude and nasty to you. But at the same time, you don't want to have to feel like you need to assimilate to make these people feel comfortable in the gaming space, because it's as much yours as it is theirs. But if your goal is to want to assimilate in some way, I really advise you not to. I really advise you to really just, but then who am I to talk? I'm not part of it. So I don't feel how mean it is, but I don't know. I will try to find ways to be as gay as fucking possible. Let them fucking eat that shit and just get so fucking good. You get you a fucking Kirby and mollywop these bitches. Bitch, play with Zelda. Play with fucking Princess Peach and make them feel fucking dumb. Get your little Palutena and gather these hoes. That's my suggestion.
I mean, I do not have... I don't know why you think I would be a person who would have advice on how to acclimate or assimilate into straight society, because I left and I have not returned in a very long time. I know very little about straight people. I have no desire to assimilate in a straight culture. I don't even do comedy clubs anymore. I do comedy clubs, but like only on gay nights. Like it's when I'm there. Like normally when I go to comedy club, everyone's like, "Oh my God, this is the gayest night we've ever had here. Like it's never this gay and happy and wonderful here." And I did tell a story at the beginning of this about how I was at a comedy club recently that was straight, and it was a straight night. But I just did,
Bob is straight.
I just did my gay thing. I walked up with my purse. I opened up the set talking about how I was gay, and I just don't even, I can't even imagine wanting to be around straight people for any reason. Like, any reason.
Because the gaming community is so straight. It's like, it says so much of the community.
But what about all the queer people? There's so many queer gamers. You and I both know this. There's tons of queer gamers.
But I'm sure, the ratio of queer gamers to straight gamers is probably, I mean, I don't know the numbers, but I'm sure there are a lot of straight ones. And maybe the queer ones are afraid to be openly queer because they're so fucking rude and nasty.
Well, maybe what it is, I'm sure once you get into specialty competitive leagues, you know, they're usually probably more niche, and there's a chance that you're probably just too good for the niche leagues, and you have to be on the world stage and the biggest competitions, which will include some straight people. And, you know, there's lots of, I can't say lots of, because I don't know a whole lot, but I know that one of the, like, top Mortal Kombat players in the world is a gay guy named Sonic, and he's a furry, Sonic Fox, and he's a furry, and he's, like...
Is he still the best? Wasn't that, like, 2020? Is he still good?
I'd say he's one of the top players in the world. I'm sure he's still very good at Mortal Kombat.
Well, Sonny, if you out there, I'll fuck you up with some katana, bitch.
Sonic Fox.
Sonic Fox.
And I have not checked on his game plan in a while, but I'm sure he's still very talented when it comes to playing Mortal Kombat. And you know, he just really kind of leans into it, and he doesn't seem to switch up what he's doing a whole lot. And I think there's a lot of strength in standing firm in who you are and being true to yourself. And I really think you'll probably get more respect that way. I think about Mateo Lane, who is very much in the world of straight comedy, and he's just so himself, and he gets a lot of respect from every comedian I have ever met. Respects Mateo.
Potato Man. Love Potato. His show at the typewriter was so funny.
He's a very, very funny person.
Shall we do the next question?
Hey dolls, so I am 27 years old. I am gay and non-binary, and I am a professional chemist. So I make a living teaching chemistry to college freshmen and doing biochemistry research. And lately, my family has become, you know, in the last 5 years, along with many other Americans, my family has become increasingly skeptical and dismissive of science, which has been incredibly frustrating for me as a scientist. And so I find myself, I mean, I've been fighting with my family my whole life because they were very homophobic. So, you know, ever since they found out I was gay in high school, there's just been nonstop fights. And finally, we were, you know, starting to get somewhere on the sexuality front. And now in the last 5 years, things have begun to deteriorate again as they have started to, you know, belittle and patronize not only my sexuality, but also now my profession. So I guess what I'm asking is, like, what would you guys do if you were in my situation? You know, do you think it's worth it to, like, keep fighting and trying to salvage these relationships? Or should I just cut my losses and, you know, invest all that time and energy in my found family? Please help. Sincerely, another child left behind.
You want to go first, my dear?
I think you went first last time. I'm pretty sure, actually.
Yeah, I went first last time. So it's your turn.
You know, this sounds really harsh, but, like, if you're a literal scientist and you have a PhD in science and your, like, family, if they're, like, accountants or, like, something that's not teachers or something that's not scientists, you really, in my opinion, you are probably wasting your time arguing with your family who's not scientists about science. They just don't, baby, they don't know what they're talking about. They do not know what they are talking about. And I understand when it comes to things like the vaccine, you can have a lot of fear for your family because you want what's best for them. And if you, you know, I have a few anti-vaxxers in my family. And, you know, the ones who are anti-vaxxers, I was trying to make sure they weren't around my mother before she got vaccinated, or before she got fully vaccinated anyway. And then when they released boosters, so I was doing all this stuff being like, I don't want you guys. And I was asking my mom to make sure they went around her, and as long as she was comfortable with that, so, to keep herself safe. And I know that you can fear for your family's safety, especially if they have comorbidities and they're anti-vaxxers. I mean, there was, like, a story of a guy who needed a kidney transplant. I don't know if you saw this. He needed a kidney transplant. And but to get a transplant, you have to be vaccinated. And he refused to get the vaccine for fear that it would make him sick. So he just accepted his fate and died or was gonna die, which is, like, they were like, well, you can't live without a kidney. He's like, I'm good. I'd rather not get the vaccine. Damn. I'd rather just go ahead and die. And that is a level of, that's not even cognitive dissonance. That is, I don't even know what that is. That is where you put your, you're putting, I don't even have words to describe someone's mentality like that. You know, I've had arguments with in my family about vaccines and stuff, but I'm not even a scientist. If I was a scientist, I'd be like, we're not having this fucking conversation. You guys don't know what you're talking about. You just don't know what you're talking about. Period.
Yeah, when you have friends and family that don't want to take the vaccine, it makes it very difficult, you know.
Oh, sorry, he did not say vaccine, or they did not say vaccine. They just said sciences, and I was equating it to the vaccine in my family.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but when you have people in life who choose not to believe science, and, you know, obviously a lot of people who believe in religion fall into that, it makes it very difficult to maintain relationships with them because you are just vibrating on a different level, another frequency. You have, like, done the groundwork to learn about science, and when people are like, no, because I just believe in whatever, it makes it very hard to have a fucking conversation with them because you're like, are you an idiot? So, I think it's just accepting that truth, knowing that, and letting that be what it is. And then from there, you make a decision on how you want to interact with these people. And, you know, they're friends and family, so you love them. So you just kind of just take a deep breath, take a gulp, and move on. But it is, you have to make that active decision to be like, you know what? Fuck it. They're just an idiot, and proceed with the relationship that way.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. As long as you think their actions are going to hurt you or innocent people around them, to let them believe that, you know, the earth, there's no evolution. Let them believe that. If it's not hurting anyone around you, then let them believe that, you know?
I have a question, which is sort of in line with this. So let's say there are children in your family is very religious, and there are children in your family who you feel like are being indoctrinated. Do you feel like it's your, like, do you want to get them out of that? Do you feel like it's your responsibility to get them out of that? Like, how do you have that conversation about being like, hey, like, other options besides, yeah.
I mean, it is a parent. The parents, I mean, when someone has kids, like it is their parents, they get to parent them how they want to. Like, that's none of my business. But I get to choose when they talk to me. I don't prescribe to that. So I have honest conversations about the way I live my life and what that means to me. But as far as their parents go, it is their parents' responsibility to raise them and train them up how they want to. But they can't tell me how to talk to them. They can't tell me to tell the kid about Eshwa, Yahweh, or Allah, whatever. I don't have to do that. No, I'm telling them how I interact with the world, how I see the world.
Yeah.
No, the earth is not flat. The earth is round for me.
Yeah, same. I mean, my family is religious, and I would never, ever try to tell my niece and nephew. I would tell my family, I'm here to be a part of my niece and nephew's life, but I'm not raising them. I'm not raising Camion and Nevaeh. You know what I mean? So I'm not putting my values on them in that manner. I mean, they're getting a hint of my values just by interacting with me and talking to me. But no, they're probably gonna my niece and nephew are probably gonna be Christians because their family is Christian, or they might end up like me and not be Christian at all, and they'll find out in their own time. You know.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you got the next one, babe?
Hey, Bob and Monet. So I wanted to get advice on makeup. For context, I'm a 27-year-old cis gay man. I used to do basic foundation in college just to kind of clean up my complexion. But over the years, I've really wanted to get into more advanced stuff like eyeshadows, eyeliners, lips, kind of all of the things that go into doing makeup. And so I wondered if you had any tips for beginners. I know you guys are drag queens, so I'm sure you have some kind of funny stories of beginning drag makeup and doing it for the first time and trying to figure out what products and tools to use and just how to go about it. So I would really love to hear what you guys have to say. Sincerely, ugly, busted bitch. Love you guys.
Oh my God.
What is this dance you're doing?
Girl, don't be so hard on yourself.
What is this dance you're doing?
Just a dance. Ka, 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 ka. Do you see we announced the Civil Rivalry Tour? Did you see that lovely, I paid homage to you and posted a video of you dancing?
I did see the video. There was no dancing. It was literally just a costume reveal. I don't know if there was a dance move involved in it.
What happened there?
I was taking off a costume. Why don't you tell what you think you saw there?
I saw a bitch struggling. A bitch gonna get her costume off. That's the fuck I saw.
Interesting.
In terms of makeup, I guess one of the big things the three big things that I struggle with that I struggle with at the beginning. Number one is color matching. Like when you go to do a foundation, you have to be careful about how it looks in person, but also what a photograph's like. When someone puts flash on, because sometimes you think you have the right color, oh my God, it matches me perfectly. But you take a picture and you are cast with a ghost, okay? And you look crazy. So when you test your foundation, test it in like normal light and with flash photography. Number two, you don't need to, just because you see it online, everyone does not need to do cream colored contour. Cream color contour can go, when you do cream color contour and powder, it can go real left, real fast. Because you did the cream one, and you go back on and you do the cream one again, and it just looks crazy. Now you're fucking Skeletor. That's number two. And number three, how these bitches be getting colors to pop on their eyes is they use a primer or a concealer. You are not some white girl. And even white girls do it too, if it's not super pigmented. You're not some white girl that can just walk up and pick up an eyeshadow palette and just put it on your bare skin and it shows up. Bitch, no, you are.
How do we know they're not white?
I don't know. I thought this serves to see white. But let me give it to both.
This might be Aiden Zane. This might be the palest bitch on the internet.
I felt it in my spirit. But anyway, so if you are a black queen, or also a lot of white queens too, because sometimes colors just aren't super pigmented. If you want something to really show up on your eyelids for an eyeshadow, you want to put either a clown white down or your concealer color down first and then put the color on top of that. That's how bitches be on here looking with, like, their shit be popping. You got to put primer first.
A lot of people also use products in different places than they're intended to get a strong, vibrant eye. You'd be shocked at how many people actually put lipstick on their eyelids mm-hmm. because lipstick is super, super pigmented. It's meant to be super bold because usually people do not put anything on, there's no primer or anything under your lipstick. So it ends up sticking out more. So you'd be shocked how often people use lipstick for their eyebrows, use
use blush for their eyeshadow. Use, you know, people really be moving shit around. Eyebrow pencils for the lips. People be moving shit all over the place. The real tea is, baby, we can give you advice right now, but in my opinion, and for me in general, what works best is seeing it. And there are so many tutorials, from simple concealer to full on SFX clown makeup on the internet. Everything you want to find
on TikTok.
Yeah,
everything, on your phone, bitch.
Everything you want to find is right there for you. There's so many great products. There's everything from like liquid foundation to cream foundation to just a little bit of bare mineral. Maybe you're a bare minerals girl. I have no clue. You know what I mean? It really depends on how made up you really want to look when you hit these streets. Like, are you trying to look made up, or are you trying to look a little dusted, or are you trying to look, make it look natty? You know what I mean?
I also recommend One Size. If you like Patrick Starr on TikTok, does these little tutorials. Patrick Starr does full coverage, glam, dragoon, something in the middle, like an influencer going out. Or Patrick Starr sometimes also does just light. He goes in like natural makeup. So, like Bob said, there are so many different ones. But Patrick Starr does a lot of them on his TikTok, like pretty often.
What's your next stop?
I'm here for a week, and then I'm coming back to LA, and then I'm doing my show, The Dynasty Typewriter, and then I'm doing Just for Last on 26. So, Toronto, California, Vancouver, California, and then I'm doing a bunch of little cities around the country. Yeah, I should become Canadian.
But let me tell you,
Canada, they're not fucking around. Canada, if you want to come into Canada, Canada is making you, Canada acting like it is March 2020 up in here. They are not playing games in Canada.
I had some great trade in Toronto. I should get back to Toronto sometime soon.
Do you wanna drop his at? You may be advertising for him.
I'll DM.
Okay. Where are you up to next?
My next thing is I'm shooting a music video on Thursday. I'll be shooting a music video. I don't know. Depending on when you're listening to this, you could be listening to this in the year 2027. And I shot this video a long ass time ago.
No, then you'll be shooting it that Thursday as well.
Yeah, every Thursday from now to the end of time. It's
whenever
one
you're listening to this, Bob is doing a video. Yeah, Thursday.
Every Thursday I'm shooting this video. I'm really excited about this. This is probably my biggest music video to date, for sure. Work. This is my biggest music video I've ever done.
Are you excited?
I am excited. Very nervous. My last big music video was yet another dig. And that one at the time felt like, I was like, this is insane. I cannot believe that I'm putting all, and the amount of work I'm putting into this, yet another dig ain't shit compared to the amount of work I'm putting into this video. So I'm very excited.
I just interviewed Dex on The Plant-Based Way, and he talked about being on Yet Another Dig. And she was like, baby, it was when Bob was first learning things. Honey, we have no trailer. Bob had us out in the desert.
Girl, all three of us. There was no one had a trailer. We were all three of us. It was me, Dipper, and Dex in the...
He said you had one.
No, I did not have a trailer. I absolutely did not have a trailer. A trailer?
Okay.
Girl, I did not have a trailer. We were in the desert. All of us rolled over there in Assad's Range Rover. It got out of Assad's Range Rover and then stood in the middle of the desert and then started dancing. We were in a church. I don't think Dex was in the church, and we were in a school. So we were rehearsed in this school, which we staged to look like a church. It was actually an old school, but like an old school. But no, I certainly I have never in my life rented a trailer. Not even once.
Okay. I'll definitely get a text to let me know the royalty on that.
Have a good day, Money.
Bye, Bob.
Goodbye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Attention. Attention. Do you want to get a more chiseled look in your jawline, girl? Well, let me tell you. Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it's the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Baby, get that jaw together, honey.